You're tuned to WFHB
91.3
and 98.1 FM.
Volunteer powered,
listener supported.
Community radio for South Central Indiana.
Welcome to WFHB's Daily Local News.
Written and produced entirely by volunteers from the Bloomington community.
And supported by the generosity of listeners like you.
Good afternoon from the studios of Community Radio 91.3 FM, reporting live for WFHB. This is Barbara Fuqua.
And I'm Scott Weddle. This is the Daily Local News for Wednesday, November 22nd, 2017.
And right now, we're down to now about $3 million with that blocker corporation that the New York Times talked about.
Coming up later in the program, WFHB News Director Wes Martin speaks with Indiana University Foundation President and former Dean of the Kelley School of Business, Dan Smith, about the IU Foundation's investments in offshore accounts. More on that story in today's feature report.
Also coming up the next half hour, Richard Fish warns listeners about the most dangerous scams and swindles over the holiday season. That's on a new edition of our Consumer Watchdog segment, Better Beware. But first, your daily headlines.
Today is arguably the busiest time of the year for travelers. The Indiana Department of Transportation is warning holiday goers that road work and lane restrictions will still be in place along Highway 37 during Thanksgiving. NDOT is encouraging motorists to use alternate routes to avoid delays and heavy traffic on Highway 37 to Indianapolis. They suggest using State Road 46 as an alternate route. Drivers can travel on State Road 46 East to Interstate 65 North or take State Road 46 West through Ellettsville to State Road 67 North. Construction crews are not scheduled to work on Thanksgiving Day, but lane restrictions along Highway 37 will remain in place during the holiday. Road work will resume on Friday. Drivers using Highway 37 between Bloomington and Martinsville are asked to eliminate all distractions while driving and to be aware of changing traffic patterns in construction zones. The Indiana State Police are also increasing their enforcement against drunk driving and dangerous driving over the holiday and holiday weekend.
Project-based science, technology, engineering, arts, and math, or STEAM curriculum, continues to be a priority at the Richland Bean Blossom Community School Corporation. The Richland Bean Blossom School Board approved a $3,000 contract with educational nonprofit Magnifying Learning for teacher coaching. Speaking in the school board meeting Monday night, Assistant Superintendent Dr. Jerry Sanders said the contract provides a year of monthly coaching sessions for teachers.
Once again, we want to support our teachers who are working to implement PBL lessons or project-based learning. We would like to support these teachers by providing monthly Skype sessions. These Skype sessions will be customized to the needs of our teachers who went through the training last summer. And the Skype sessions will also provide support to our STEAM coaches to know how they can support our classroom teachers.
Like the acronym STEM, STEAM stands for Science, Technology, Engineering, and Math, but also includes the arts. According to the Indiana Department of Education's website, there's a need for more rigorous and engaging STEM education, a project-based teaching method where curriculum is rooted in tackling real-world challenges is one way to do that. According to the Magnifying Learning website, the monthly coaching sessions help teachers overcome the challenges of implementing project-based learning in the classroom. The RBB School Corporation's STEAM curriculum is supported with Monroe County Tax Increment Financing Funds.
The Edgewood Junior High Band, Choir, and Dance Teams are preparing for 2018 competitions. Coach Shonda Campbell told the Richland Bean Blossom School Board on Monday night that Edgewood Junior High's newly formed dance team will compete in regional competitions. Campbell says the dance team's regional performances will determine whether it can compete at state level.
So the girls will compete at three different competitions, starting December 2nd, January, and February, and then they will go to regionals February 24th, while we leave the 23rd. The 24th, they compete again, and then if we make it to state, we will compete in March.
Band director Kurt Kohler says Edgewood Junior High's Accelerated Concert Band and Choir will be competing in Chicago's Music in the Parks Festival in May. The Edgewood Mini Warehouse is a show choir made up of 40 7th and 8th graders.
The city of Bloomington continues to repair the sky bridge at the downtown 4th Street garage. Public Works Director Adam Wason says peeling away layers of the 30-year-old structure has revealed some surprises. Recently, repair crews found water leaks have eroded support beams. In their meeting on Friday, the Board of Public Works approved Wason contracting with Ancus Services to reseal windows in the sky bridge and garage.
This is temporary. One of the things we know we need to do is come back in the spring, remove all of the windows and reglaze and basically redo all of the windows in the structure.
Parking garage manager Ryan Daly says the sky bridge between Fountain Square Mall and the 4th Street garage will be open for use tomorrow. Daly says the water damage also calls for the replacement of the electrical system in the 4th Street garage.
We'll be closing down sections of the garage, but it'll affect traffic, but it's not going to affect parkers there.
Okay.
Elevators are only going to be shut down during non-business hours. There'll always be lights in the garage, mm-hmm. even when they're pulling conduit out.
The board approved contracting with Cassidy Electric for the electrical work. Wason says the city is conducting an assessment of all parking garages to determine their lifespans going forward.
The Indiana Department of Revenue is being sued by the Small Business and Transportation Coalition. In a lawsuit filed against the Department of Revenue on Friday, Terre Haute attorney Jim Bopp alleges Indiana is collecting fees from truckers without having written permission in existing state law. Bopp's lawsuit says the state collects $100 million annually through the Federal Unified Carrier Registration Plan. Indiana was selected in 2008 to administer the federal plan, which collects fees from trucking companies and distributes them to state truckers pass-through. In a statement released today, the Indiana Department of Revenue stated, quote, "To administer the process, the Department of Revenue has received an administrative fee of less than 1% of the total amount collected and distributed over the last 10 years. We believe this lawsuit is frivolous and will ultimately be dismissed," unquote. Bopp is a conservative attorney who was instrumental in Citizens United versus the Federal Election Committee in 2010. Support for WFHB comes from Cardinal Spirits Distillery, located on the Beeline. Cardinal Spirits has opened a new kitchen featuring local, seasonal food made from scratch to complement their craft cocktails. Dinner available Tuesday through Saturday at Cardinal Spirits, 922 South Morton Street. Reporting live for WFHB, I'm Barbara Fuqua.
And I'm Scott Weddle. On November 8th, the New York Times published an article about university foundations not paying taxes on their endowments, many of which are in the billions of dollars, by investing in overseas corporations. Mentioned in the first sentence of that article was the Indiana University Foundation, according to documents provided to the Times from a leaker at a Bermudan law firm. The IU Foundation had invested $10 million in a Cayman Islands investment firm. WFHB contacted the nonprofit IU Foundation to discuss the allegations that the foundation was offshoring investments in order to avoid paying federal capital gains taxes. In a statement to WFHB, the IU Foundation confirmed the Times allegations, stating that the use of so-called, quote, blocker entities, unquote, is, also, quote, an accepted and long-standing common practice by university foundations across the country, end quote. Foundation President and former Dean of IU's Kelly School of Business, Dan Smith, spoke with WFHB News Director Wes Martin this morning. Part of their conversation comprises today's WFHB feature report.
If we can get to the blocker corporations. So the Times article alleges that through the Paradise Papers, they've found out that about $10 million or so in investments is invested in a blocker corporation in the Cayman Islands. And what purpose does an investment like that serve? Is that part of this mitigating cost and increasing return?
Right. Yes. So if you think about what this blocker, and I mean, that's just a term of art, I guess, a blocker corporation, we give them money, and I'll make an adjustment on the $10 million in a minute. It's a little bit less than that at the moment, but we invest with them, with a blocker corporation, and that blocker corporation takes our money, and they reinvest it in multiple opportunities, not just in the Cayman Islands, but all over the world for that matter. And the benefit there largely is that it reduces our administrative costs. Think about it as an individual. We could buy 10 different shares of stock from different companies, Apple, General Motors, IBM, and so on. But gosh, we got to keep track of all of that and, you know, manage the taxes on certain dividends. If we have investments, let's say, in treasury bills, that interest income is taxed at a very low or oftentimes zero rate, whereas dividends from, say, IBM are taxed at normal income rates, and yet there's another tax called capital gains tax that's taxed at another rate. So there's a lot of administrative work behind the scenes in investing, and so a blocker corporation, first and foremost, just allows us to provide them the funds. They invest them. And we follow how they invest them, and then we get the returns after taxes, and then we get some of the principal back over time also. And so right now, I just checked on this, Wes, this morning, and right now we're down to now about $3 million with that blocker corporation that the New York Times talked about. So $3 million, you know, on a $2 billion portfolio, I mean, it's less than 0.25%. So it's really a pretty modest level of investment, but that's why we do it, is it helps us provide, lowers our taxes, but it also lowers our administrative costs. And all of that creates more money. I want to go back to the beginning, creates more money for students and faculty support.
Thank you very much for correcting me. It's $3 million, not $10 million.
No, it's fine.
Is that investment in this so-called blocker corporation, did that come from the endowment or was that gifted to the endowment?
So yes and yes. So all of the gifts that come to the endowment come in from gifts. Okay, it's all gift funds, if you will. So you may write a check, and I may write a check to Indiana University to create, say, a scholarship endowment. And it goes into that one big pool of $2 billion. And then our investment committee and our investment team allocates that $2 billion into a variety of places. So some of it might go into Apple stock. Some of it might go into treasury bills. Some of it goes into $10 million of it several years back, by the way. So you're not incorrect, and the Times article was not incorrect. It was just not current. So at one point, we had $10 million invested with this blocker corporation. And then over time, the blocker corporation pays you your returns back, your investment returns, and is winding down and paying you back some of the principal as well. So we're now down to about $3 million on that.
And Mr. Smith, I have to ask, there is a question of the morality of this. On the one hand, the more that you can squeeze out of these investments, the more opportunities you're capable of providing potential students at Indiana University, the more you can help subsidize people's education. On the other hand, it does raise this question of, is the endowment backing principles that aren't necessarily best practices or continue kind of a system that allows people to avoid paying federal taxes?
No, it's certainly a fair question, and it gets asked a lot. And I think, you know, let me frame it up in a couple of different ways. First of all, there are a lot of investments we have that give us returns with almost no taxable income. So let's say if you buy municipal bonds, so let's say for Monroe County, if they float a bond offering to rebuild infrastructure, they'll pay you maybe 3 or 4 percentage points of interest. So 3% interest is more than what you can get on a savings account. But I think in many cases, some of those bond offerings are tax-free. Is that immoral? I don't know. You're getting a nice, safe return, and you're not paying taxes. And so, to me, and the way I think we see things with our investments is that we absolutely will stay within the guidelines of the law. The government sets those laws, so the government said this was okay. So are they being immoral to allow an institution to get a tax benefit or a tax write-off? Are they immoral for letting us write off and reduce them for writing off our mortgage interest, for example, or moving to Florida, where if I live there 6 months and one day, I don't pay any state income taxes in the state of Indiana. The government sort of allows you to do this. So we could discuss that at great length, but the way we see it is the government draws the lines of the playing field out there, and our responsibility to our students, our responsibility to the university, and our responsibility to our donors is to make sure that their money generates the best return within those boundaries. But it's commonly used. It's the use of block corporations is just such a common practice right now, and it's common because, again, it does have advantages for the university and for students, for support of the university, and the government allows for it.
Mr. Smith, is there anything else that you'd like to add or you would like our listeners to know that we haven't gotten around to during the course of this interview, either with regards to the IU Foundation, the foundation's endowment, or with specifics to this case about the blocker corporations?
I think it's just important that people understand that we use the endowment not to make political statements or judgments. The endowment is there as a force for good for, quite frankly, the citizens of the state of Indiana to provide their young people with a world-class education that's also affordable. So that's what we're trying to do.
Mr. Smith, thank you very much for speaking with me this morning. I really appreciate it. If I can ask you one more question, I'm just wondering, there's no current plan to deviate from the use of a blocker corporation or anything like that on the horizon. Is that correct?
I don't know that I would call it deviating from using it, Wes. It's winding down. This is an investment vehicle that, like I said, started out some years back at $10 million. And over time, we get our principal back from the investment along with investment returns. So today it's at $3 million. And my sense is from our investment team is that it will continue to kind of wind down. But I don't know. We keep our eyes open on the horizon for, you know, attractive opportunities, again, that'll benefit the university and, of course, operate within commonly accepted guidelines.
Mr. Smith, thank you again so much for speaking with us. I really appreciate you taking the time, particularly from abroad.
That's fine. It's a delight. Take care now.
You too.
That was IU Foundation President and former Dean of the Kelly School of Business, Dan Smith, speaking with WFHB News Director Wes Martin.
The Daily Local News is brought to you by MPI Solar, a Bloomington business specializing in solar hot water, solar electricity, and solar hot air systems. MPI Solar designs and installs solar power generation systems that encourage independence and individual responsibility. Found locally at 812-334-4003 and on the web at mpisolarenergy.com.
Up next, our weekly consumer watchdog segment, Better Beware.
Welcome to Better Beware. Here's your consumer watchdog from WFHB Community Radio with the latest information and helpful hints designed to keep your head out of the clouds, your feet on the ground, and your money in your pocket.
Oh, you better watch out if you don't want to cry at holiday time. I'm telling you why. Here are the top 4 holiday scams, according to the Better Business Bureau. Number 4 is a fake version of that happy app you get from your favorite department store. These fake apps can look exactly like the real ones, give you the same shopping experience, take your money, and send you nothing, except maybe a computer virus. Get the real app from the store's website or a secure source like the iTunes Store, or risk having your phone frozen like hot chocolate at the North Pole. The number 3 holiday scam is an old dodge with a new wrinkle, puppies. An ad or website with super cute pictures of super cute puppies makes extravagant promises, but the puppies are somewhere far away, and they want you to pay out a chunk of cash, like maybe $500, up front, to have them delivered by Christmas. Naturally, the puppies don't exist, and you're left with your tail between your legs. This scam has been spotted on Craigslist, which can be a fertile field or a minefield for buying and selling anything. I wouldn't buy a pet on the internet any more than I'd buy shoes that way. You gotta try them on first. Second on the you-could-get-hit parade is the danger from porch pirates. Now, they don't wear bandanas, carry knives between their teeth, and go, "Arr!" These pirates are ordinary-looking people in ordinary-looking cars, which follow delivery trucks around, waiting for them to leave a package on somebody's front porch. As soon as the truck is out of sight, they jump out of their car, scoop up the package, and then, away like the wind, these corsairs do fly. Amazon soon may want you to let their delivery people leave packages inside your home when you're not there. I don't know about that. And the BBB's number 1 holiday swindle this year is the fake delivery notice. That's an email that looks exactly like it comes from Amazon or UPS or FedEx, saying that they couldn't deliver a package to you for some reason or other. Watch out. Especially if you weren't expecting a package. There'll be a link in that email to click on, supposedly to confirm your address or maybe arrange for a delivery time. And if it's a fake email, that will be a fake link that takes you to a fake website that wants your personal information and installs some nasty malware, or should I say Grinchware, on your computer. Even if you are expecting something from Aunt Matilda, go to the real website for the shipper, type the address in yourself, and find out if there really is a package. Want to be certain you're shopping safely this year? Go to a local store and pay cash. I'm Richard Fish for WFHB News and Public Affairs.
Better Beware comes to you from WFHB Bloomington, Indiana. Find all our episodes at WFHB.org. If you can help put the kibosh on a con, email beware@WFHB.org. Remember, swindlers never give a sucker an even break.
You've been listening to the Daily Local News on WFHB. Today's headlines were written by Wes Martin, along with Sarah Vaughn for Cats Week, in partnership with Community Access Television Services. Better Beware was produced by Richard Fish. Our feature was produced by Wes Martin.
Our engineer today is Dan Withard. Our theme music provided by The Impossible Shapes. Executive producer is Wes Martin. For WFHB, this is Scott Weddle.
And I'm Barbara Fuqua. Thanks for supporting Indiana's only volunteer-powered, listener-supported independent daily news program, recognized among the best newscasts in 2016 by the Indiana chapter of the Society of Professional Journalists.
You can be a part of our award-winning news team. Send inquiries to news@wfhb.org. And stay tuned for Standing Room Only, our award-winning weekly lecture series, coming up next on WFHB.
The Daily Local News is produced by a staff of over 50 volunteers
working in the WFHB News and Public Affairs Department.
Comments, suggestions, and story ideas
may be submitted directly to our news staff via email.
The address is news@wfhb.org.